It'd been a tough time for Erica. She had recently come to a greater awareness that her seemingly perfect middle-class suburban life was not all that it appeared to be on the surface. The thing that kind of brought the conversation to a head was when she discovered that her 14-year-old daughter, Jenny, was, she had a bit of a drug habit. It was just over-the-counter diet pills, perhaps nothing that we would normally think of as a great big deal, just something that she would take to kind of get energy at key times because she was feeling so stressed and just so pressured by all the things at home and all the things at school. But it just got Erica thinking, you know, like, if my 14-year-old girl is turning to drugs just to get through the day, what's going on in my family? What kind of pressures is she experiencing? Brought a number of things to a head in even in the dynamics of her own family, as she and her husband argued about what to do in the situation. I mean, how do we best care for our daughter? And they really weren't on the same page with this. And Erica just realized what a hard time as a family they had, even talking through the basic stuff in life. And so the rest of the family was asleep in bed, and Erica was up, sitting at the computer at her favorite website, Facebook. She looked at the screen, and the words that would greet her in the box every time she would come: "What's on your mind?" She'd think through, you know, what do I share about this? I mean, people share all sorts. I mean, sometimes people use Facebook to slam their spouse or complain about their kids, and she's thinking, well, how does that help anything? She doesn't want to be that kind of a person. But she's loved Facebook because, I mean, in the last 5 months, she has connected with 334 friends. People from high school and from college, from her workplace, and all around the world. I mean, she has friends. She feels so connected on Facebook. It's just cool to be able to post your pictures and have people comment and see what's going on in your family. And it was great. It was one of actually her primary social outlets. And she's just there on Facebook. But she's looking at this little box with the gray letters in it. What's on your mind? And there was a lot on her mind. She types in the first thing she's thinking: am I a bad parent? No, she thinks, I can't share that. Am I a bad spouse? No, we don't talk about that on Facebook. Why does my family have such a hard time talking about things? No, we don't talk about that on Facebook. Is it normal to be this lonely? No, we don't talk about that on Facebook. If God is out there, why can't I find him? Well, we don't talk about that on Facebook. Am I as messed up as I feel? No. So she stared at the box. What's on your mind? Isn't it weird that we can have hundreds of friends all around the world, I mean literally all around the world, instantly connected to hundreds or thousands of people in ways that used to only be dreamed about in science fiction novels? We can be that connected and actually feel that alone and have so few people to really talk to. Isn't that weird? Well, it was late at night, and she realized she wasn't going to get anywhere on Facebook, so she decided to go for a walk. Just down the street from her house, there was the city cemetery. It was a, for her at least, it was actually kind of a comforting place. She'd go there with a flashlight, even at night, and it wasn't, though it was dark, it wasn't spooky for her. Because, you know, her family had lived in that community for a very long time. So when she would go to the cemetery, she could actually see the headstones from her great, great, grandparents. And then next to that, her great-grandparents. And then more recently, the headstones of her own grandparents. And though her parents lived in another part of the world, she knew there was a pretty good chance that when they passed away, that they would choose to be buried in the same graveyard. She wondered whether she would be buried in the same place. She liked to walk around and look at the different headstones and the different things that were said. You know, oftentimes there's you know, Bible verses or just kind of lofty sayings. Like she came across the one before that. Thanks. Joy, joy forever. The task is done. Gates passed. Heaven won, from some person she didn't even know. 1852 to 1923. She wondered if the people that were buried there, if they ever knew what was going to be written above them. You know, these lofty words, trying to summarize their life in a sentence or two. And if they had known, would that have changed anything for them? She wondered what it might be if, for her headstone, if her headstone was written today. Erica Johnson, 1968 to who knows. She worked hard to impress people she hardly knew. And that would be the honest truth for her. What would people write about me as they summarize my life one day? When she's sitting, just thinking, if I'm buried over there one day, what will people write to summarize my life? That's when she looked at her grandmother's headstone. Ethel Williams, 1915 to 1990. Well done, good and faithful servant. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. And then, for the first time in a long time, Erica knew exactly what she needed to do next. As the lights come up, I'd like you to take out your bulletin. And inside there's a little white piece of paper. On one side it has thirsty and it has discussion questions groups. Things that if you're in a connection group you might be talking about this week. On the back there's some scripture passages, our key passages for today. And at the bottom there's the words, "My Epitaph." You take that out, and we've got extra copies. Linda's got some, so if you need a pen or a piece of paper, just put your hand up and she'll throw something at you. She's got the best aim of anybody on staff, so we give her that job. My Epitaph. And what I'd like you to do, as somber as this might sound, I'd like you to fill in some blanks. I'm not going to make you share this with anybody. Don't worry. We're not going to hand these in or pass these around or anything like that. So, you know, please be as honest as you can. This is just for you. But I do urge you to do this. If you walk away saying, "I got nothing out of church today," well, you know, here's your chance. You know, you can get something out of church today for sure. Okay. So here lies, and then write in your name. Here lies Andrew Thompson, a person whose life was devoted to, and just fill in a few things. A person whose life was devoted to. So your name, a person whose life was devoted to. And just fill those in. It might take a little while to think about those. Those are big questions, I admit. They're huge questions, actually. But that's the question that can guide us as we look at the healthy Christian habit that's our focus for the day. As you're writing, for those of you that are just kind of you might have not have been here in worship the last couple of weeks, we're in a series called Thirsty. And it's based on the premise that everybody is thirsty for God, whether we know it or not. And one of the ways that we experience that thirst is by the recognition of the gap between the people that we are and the people that we long to be. Like, for example, most of us would say we we long for our lives to be marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, or self-control. Things that Galatians tells us are actually the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But we look at our own lives and we go, I don't have that. Or I don't have much of that. How do I get that? And Jesus tells us how. In John 15:5, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So we've learned that the secret to genuine character growth, to genuine heart change, to be a different person, isn't predominantly the result of self-effort or even a one-shot off, God, fix me, thank you, I know you're done prayer. But it is the result of an ongoing relationship with Christ, of getting connected and staying connected to Christ on a day-to-day basis. That's when we experience the promise of this verse, that our lives will bear fruit, that we will be changed from the inside out. We start to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We become more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more patient, more kind, more good, more gentle, more self-controlled. Things that we long for. Because that thirst in our heart, that's something that God put there. He longs for you to know that. He longs for you to have a life with love, joy, and peace, and all the rest. That's what he wants for each of us. And we can grow in that as we get and stay connected to Christ. And today we look at a habit that can help us get connected. The habit itself doesn't change us, but the connection to Christ that it can help with can. And it's called the habit of simplicity. Where our lives are not hurried, where they're not overly rushed, where there's a sense of focus, that we know what we're about. The habit of simplicity. Our memory verse today is Romans chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. And especially focus on verse 2. Therefore I urge you, Paul writes, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Then our memory verse. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. You know how this world, we're busy all the time. We are a busy, busy, super active culture. You know, as simple technologies as electric lights, we can stay up 24 hours a day if we want to. We can be constantly connected. We have more information at our disposal than any other generation that has ever existed on the face of the planet. But the Bible says, do not conform to that pattern of just information overload and busyness and hurry, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. That as our minds are renewed by God, by staying constantly connected to Christ, we have a greater sense of fruit for our life and a greater sense of what our life should be about. Then you will be able, Scripture promises, to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Take a look at that epitaph list. Most people, when they'll pause just to consider that question, as hard as it is, will write down some things that really truly last, that things that really have some weight, that really matter. The discipline of simplicity, or the habit of simplicity, would cause us to ask today, those things that you wrote, does your calendar reflect them? If I looked at your checkbook, would I see these values? And how do we, if we're not sure what those things are, or our lives feel out of sync, you know, our lifestyle relative to our values, how do we get them back into sync? We see one of the clues for that, a good, helpful clue in the life of Christ. And in your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to Mark chapter 6 today. So just to set up this verse and the main principle we're going to be looking at. in Mark chapter 6, Jesus has had his disciples, and he's just sent them off for their first ministry experience. So they've been off preaching and praying for people, and I mean, they've just been doing their first sermons and their first prayer rallies, so they're coming back, and they're just pumped. This has been great. It's like, you know, at church when we have set our interns loose to preach, and they're just doing great, and they're super nervous, and it's awesome, but then they're wiped out afterwards, you know, because it's a big deal. So Jesus has had some of his disciples go off and do this, and they're coming back, and we get to verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Great job with ministry, folks. Time to find a couch, some chicken wings, and time to kick back. Get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place in verse 32. Verse 33, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of him. When Jesus landed and saw the huge crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching. And then as the story goes on, it's getting late in the day and they realize that it's time to eat. And there's thousands of people with no food. And so we get to this very famous miracle where between five loaves and two fishes, more than 5,000 people are fed. We get to verse 45. So the miracle is just finished, and it says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up onto a mountainside to pray. The point is, in Jesus' life, we see a balance between engagement and times of rest and reflection. There's times when Jesus is fully on, where he is ministering to the needs of the people around him, the spiritual needs, people need teaching, the physical needs, people are hungry. He is fully engaged. He is not turning away from the need around him. He is fully engaged. And at the same time, he takes time to rest and reflect and recharge with the Father. Times of engagement and times of rest and reflection, doing both. Because one of the dangers that we can face as Christians is we do just one and not the other. We're either just go, ministry. It's all about ministry and serving people and work and go, and fill up that calendar. And we don't take time to rest and reflect. So our hearts never have a chance to get recalibrated or refocused. We're busy doing all sorts of stuff, but we have no idea what we're doing. Or we go on the other side and we just go, oh, I'm just going to grow in my faith by turning inward and staying inward. And so we can retreat into contemplative places and stay there and get stuck there and not let that rest and reflection move us back out into ministry. And both those extremes are dangerous. But in Jesus, we see the balance. There's times of engagement. And there's times to rest and reflect. In your calendar, are there times of engagement? And are there times to rest and reflect? What's missing? How's the balance doing today? If God was to look lovingly at your calendar, tap you on the shoulder and say, "Hey," what would he tell you? "Hey, let's get away. Just you and me. Let's go up into the mountains. I've been meaning to talk to you." Or do you say, "Hey, let's get in the game. I've equipped you. Let's go." What would he say to you today? Times of engagement. Times of rest and reflection. It's in those times of break, those times just you and the Holy Spirit alone with your thoughts, Those are the times that can help us see the true focus of life. So when we make these epitaph lists, and I hope you're still working on yours, we have some sense of what we're really supposed to be about, you know? It's funny, we can be so busy and so full of doing things that we don't even have time to do the things that the things we already know matter the most. I mean, you are no dummy. You sit down with a list like this and you think for a little while, you'll write down some things that are significant. Some things that really truly matter. But so often our calendars don't reflect that. Our checkbooks don't reflect that. Our day-to-day lived out values don't reflect that. But maybe today, in the little bit of time and little bit of space that we have, maybe today you'll allow the Holy Spirit just to lovingly tap you on the shoulder. To lovingly redirect you if you need to be redirected. Is there something in your life that you need to say no to, that just out of God's mercy and love for you, you need to say, I've just got to do less of that. It's not that it's bad, it's just clutter. It's just stuffing. It's just in the way. Is there something you need to say no to today? So that you can say yes to some of the things that you know. The things that you know. Or maybe today as you look at this list, you go, I don't even know how I want to fill this list out. I'm looking at this and I don't know what to write down. Maybe all the more then, you need to discover how God's promise is true in Romans 12:2. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Draw near to Jesus, friends. Listen to His word. Be with His people. Engage in His mission. Let His truth saturate your life enough that it will start to displace the functional lies that we carry with us. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. His general will for all of us. And then, even more excitingly, His specific will for you. The particular things that you were put on the planet by a loving Creator to do and to be about. Maybe this is a reminder that it's time to invest in your walk with God so that you know what to write down, and that we're able to live by things that really, truly last and matter. Let's pray together. Lord, thanks for this reminder, as hard and a little bit harsh as it is, I suppose. I mean, it's difficult to consider how our lives might be remembered. But Lord, it's my prayer that as we take a loving look at these issues, that You would use this time to draw Your children back to You, to remind us of those things that truly last and matter. Because I know, God, for every person, whether they're here in the congregation or listening to this on a podcast, I know for every single person, You've got a plan for them. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God, I know that is Your promise for every person in this place. Lord, may we have the courage to declutter our lives of those things that get in the way between us and You. Because God, we want to know. We want to know what Your will is for us. Your good, pleasing, and perfect will. Give us the courage to live that out today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.